Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, this is The Girl.
And I'm Tristan Riddell. This is episode 38 of Nerd Nuptial. This is the last Halloween episode of Nerd Nuptial this year.
That's right.
And we're recording this on Sunday. And I do want to say, I just want to give everybody a quick preview because you guys are going to be listening to this on Monday, hopefully. Or at least it's releasing on Monday. Later on in the week, the network is releasing a commentary on Ridley Scott's Alien that came out in 1979. It's the theatrical cut, and a lot of people from the network, including some guests, came on to do it, and it was a lot of fun. So please look for that this coming Wednesday, the Wednesday before Halloween. It's just in time for Halloween, and you and I love the Alien movies.
Oh yeah, it's great. I can't wait to listen to the commentary.
And we've talked about it a lot on this show, haven't we?
Yeah,
we did an
definitely.
Alien retrospective, didn't we?
I don't think we did, but we've talked about it a lot.
Okay, well, I think an Alien retrospective needs to happen sometime soon. Well, what this episode is about today is we are going to be talking about our Halloween watch. Like, what's on our watch list from October 1st until the 31st? What movies have we been watching? Every single movie we have watched has been Halloween themed, or at least our version
right.
of Halloween themed. And but before we get into that, there's a few things that we want to talk about, and that is things that are coming out soon. You know, like, let's look ahead to November and beyond. There's a lot of great things coming out in November.
Definitely. We just watched the trailer for Arrival with Amy Adams.
Yes, I'm excited about this. This one has Jeremy Renner and Forest Whitaker, and I'm a huge Amy Adams fan.
Yeah. You think she's pretty.
Well, yeah. Many aspects I find agreeable with Amy Adams. But I think she's a fine actress. And with Arrival, I think that for those of you who don't know what Arrival is, you should check out the trailers because the trailers are well done. She's a linguist. And there is a UFO that landed on Earth. And they send in some people to try to find a way to communicate with them. And to, you know, decipher why they're there. And so that's why they have the linguist. And of course, you know, governments get involved. There's intrigue and everything like that. But it's an original sci-fi film.
Yeah, and I don't feel like we get very many of those. I feel like we have a lot of repeats or reboots or whatever.
Remakes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of nice to see something that looks a little bit more new and fresh.
Yeah, it's sad that we both feel that way. It's sad that originality is so rare.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and I mean, this idea isn't necessarily 100% original.
No, no.
But it looks like it's, you know, obviously not trying to, you know, reboot or something.
Yeah, it's not a reboot of When the Earth Stood Still.
Right.
You know, it's not a reboot of The Thing. It's not it's not connected to the Star Wars, the Star Trek universe, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. And it takes a lot to get us to the theater. So depending on how we feel, you may be getting an Arrival review.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see.
It sounds like it'll be fun.
Now, something else that's coming out in November, and this is something that I talked about on the Nerd Party blog, which you can find at thenerdparty.com, is The Crown.
Yeah, well, we're all about Netflix original series, and they're just really well done. You know, we're huge House of Cards fans, and this looks really good.
It does look really good. The Crown is about Queen Elizabeth's rise to the monarchy after her father dies, and it's after the war. And I was raised on tales of British royalty. My mom's a huge Anglophile, and she loves everything to do with the monarchy and British history and everything like that. And so this was done, I think, it was done by the guy who did The Queen.
Mm-hmm.
which is obviously Queen Elizabeth later in life. He did one other thing. I don't know if he wrote the King's Speech or not. I can't remember. It might be the same guy. And it's just report, like, we saw the trailer. Like, they keep releasing featurettes and clips and trailers for it, and it's coming out very soon, like at the beginning of November. And when you watch the trailer, I think you even said, I'm so glad this is what TV has become.
Yeah, I love that they're able to spend their time and put bigger budgets for a smaller amount of episodes. And, you know, like, they did these featurettes about, like, costume design. And, you know, it's much more, feels like a big budget film, only for television, only our version of television, which is becoming more of the wave of the future, which I love.
Yeah, it's quite true, and it is quite refreshing to see that, because while you're watching it, you're just like, holy crap, this is shot really well. This looks fantastic. They look like they got some great actors, and it looks like a 10-part movie.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, I'm excited. I think it looks really good. And I don't actually know that much about the behind the scenes with the royal family, so I'm interested to, you know, see that interpretation and then do my own research.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like,
like, what actually did happen?
They keep talking about, like, you know, we've never seen, you know, these conversations behind closed doors before. And I was like, well, we still haven't.
Right. I mean, like, we didn't film that, so.
This is all guesswork.
Right.
It's very much guesswork.
But yeah, still, it'll be entertaining, I think.
I think so, too, because the Windsor family really fascinates me. And I, you know, like I said before, like, I was raised on these stories where my mom's just like, yes, and Elizabeth did this, and then Margaret, you'll never believe what Margaret did. And it's just, it's really funny, and I hope it's good, because it's one of those things where, you know, I saw nothing about Stranger Things before it came out. No trailers, no nothing. It wasn't until after it came out where, and it was on the Netflix, like, they were advertising it just, like, in the banner of Netflix just for a while, when I was like, oh, so I've heard some people talk about this, you know, should we check it out? With The Crown, they're really pushing it almost as much as they were pushing House of Cards. And so I'm really hoping it's not a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, at least we know the quality will be good,
yes,
from what we've seen. So, and, you know, Netflix does good quality things. So, I don't know, I pretty high expectations.
I have high expectations too. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true. Anytime that we have that, where it's like, well, there's only an opportunity for us to go down.
Yeah, I think I just gotta, hopefully it'll be enjoyable. Hopefully it'll be cool. And like you said, at least the quality is there. At least we know it's gonna be good quality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also on Netflix, Gilmore Girls. It's coming out towards the end of November.
That's right.
And I'm so excited.
I cannot wait.
So excited.
That's another thing, though, of high expectations.
Yeah, that one I feel like even more. Oof.
Yes, there's much more at stake with a Gilmore Girls revival than there is an original show that, you know, has ties to nothing. With this, I mean, I think we've even said this before, that, like, we loved the ending of the show so much that you pretty much can only screw it up.
That is our fear.
Which is such a defeatist attitude, but
I think I just have to look at it as, you know, seeing those characters again will be really nice. So,
yeah, that's the thing, is that with Arrested Development, with a season four was god awful.
Yeah, we hated it.
It was atrocious. It just wasn't funny.
But
the thing is, when we go back and watch seasons 1 through 3, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think part of the reason why that one didn't work is because they didn't really have the whole cast together at the same time for very many.
Yeah.
And that was kind of part of the charm of the show. Whereas I hope, obviously, with, you know, Gilmore Girls, at least you'll have, hopefully, Lorelai and Rory together. So we'll hopefully get some of that.
Yeah. I think even the creator of, is it Mitch Horowitz? Yeah. Mitch Horowitz even said, like, he admitted that season 4 didn't work. And he admitted that the reason why it didn't work is for exactly what you just said, is that the cast wasn't available at the same time, and so they had to piecemeal it together. And there's even scenes where they green screen them in, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, and so I think if a season 5 happens, I think everyone understands that they have to wait until they are all
Everyone's
together.
Available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I am super excited about that, too. So it's a busy November. Got a lot going on.
We do have a lot going on. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. Now, A lot of things have been... now, a new Rogue One trailer came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally, like with The Force Awakens and they and here's the thing, like Disney, I love Disney marketing. I think some of the things that they have been doing, especially with Marvel and Star Wars, have been genius. Like the trailers that they've been making, the marketing pushes that they've been doing, the social media engagement, everything has been really, really stellar. But with Age of Ultron and Force Awakens, it was almost too much saturation.
Like too many trailers, too many, I don't know, just spots on television.
Yes.
I totally agree. I almost sometimes feel like, okay, don't show us too much so that I still want to go see the film.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes when they show us too much information, I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
I don't know if I like that shot. I don't know how I like that line being delivered.
Yes. And that's
whereas
kind of what
I would still go see it if you just showed me the first trailer. But that's not how life works.
That is not how life works. And like, we'll get back to Rogue One. But speaking of which, like Logan came out, the trailer, the third Wolverine film. And the first trailer, I think, was very universally loved. A lot of people chimed in and said, wow, they're excited for it. And John Mills, a friend of the show and a host on the network, he and I were texting each other immediately after we watched it. He's like, okay, Fox, that's it. Don't make any more trailers. Be done. You have my money. Don't ruin anything.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. That one looks really interesting, too. It looks really gritty.
Yes, in a good way. It looks small.
Yeah. It almost feels like... Like, we always talk about how sometimes I feel like superheroes have to save the whole world in each of their films, whereas this does not feel like that situation at all. It feels much smaller and much more character-driven.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that.
It almost looks like Wolverine meets Fury Road.
It does, yeah. Definitely has that post-apocalyptic feel to it and everything.
Yeah, and it's based off of the Old Man Logan comic book series. And I'm not that knowledgeable of Marvel comics. I'm much more of a DC person. I appreciate the Marvel books. And there's a few things that, like, I talked with a friend of mine, and there's a few things that, actually, it's not just him. Like, the internet is kind of like, how does this work? You know, like, how is Professor X there if it takes place so far in the future where mutants are gone, you know, like...
And he's losing his power. Logan's losing his power.
Yeah, and Logan's losing his regenerative powers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, how does this fit into the continuity? And why does he have scars and everything like that? And I'm sure that they'll give us a reason. I think, actually, even the filmmaker, James Mangold, who did the Walk the Line movie, he directed that. And which is funny that they used...
I was just going to say, they used the Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, Hurt.
Hurt.
The Nine Inch Nails
which
cover.
when you play that song, you have me, because that song is amazing, so...
There are some other people online talking about that, too, where they're like, you could slap that song on any trailer, and everybody would just start crying.
Seriously, yeah. The first time I heard that song, I cried.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think the first time I heard the song was we watched the music video together.
That's right.
And...
Yeah.
Like... It was extremely emotional, and then June,
came on
into the music video, and I just started losing it.
Yeah,
I started crying.
Yeah, it's such a good song, and to put that imagery with it, it's like,
yeah,
you have me. But I think it's interesting take to even put that song with this type of trailer because it's a superhero film.
Right.
If you think about it, so I don't know. I think they're definitely going for a different feel, and I like that.
But it looks like it works.
It does.
Because it looks like Wolverine is scarred, he's bleeding, he's tired.
Yeah.
And it's just him and Professor X and no one else. And he's hurt. He's literally and figuratively hurt. And so with that song, it makes sense. Like the way that Johnny Cash was singing it is the way that Logan was feeling.
Yeah.
And so, like, anybody who criticizes the song choice is out of their mind.
I think it's interesting, and I like it. It's different.
Now, friend of the show, Craig Sorrell, he was talking about how he's not that excited about it, and one of the main reasons why is because the first two movies were crap.
Yeah.
And
they really were.
He's not wrong.
No, although anytime I get to see Hugh Jackman, I'm pretty good. He's definitely one of my favorites.
He's your Amy Adams.
That's right. There you go.
You think double he's pretty.
Feature. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do Arrival and Logan back to back, even though they come out like 7 months
say,
apart.
Yeah, a little timetable wise, that didn't work, but that's okay.
Yeah. So that's the thing is that, like, because Wolverine Origins and The Wolverine was so bad. I mean, well, like, okay, Wolverine Origins was just a dumpster fire. And The Wolverine was okay, only because...
Barely subpar.
Yeah, only because it was just not a dumpster fire. You know, that's the only...
The expectations were lowered.
Exactly. And so that's why I had no interest in this.
Mm-hmm.
I had no interest in this movie. But after this trailer, I'm like, oh, okay, you have my money.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I love that character.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something to that as well, that obviously the world loves that character, but hopefully they've learned from the past, and I think the smaller scale will help them in this.
I think so too, and he's been playing that role for 16 years.
Oh my gosh.
16 years.
That's insane.
That's over half of our lives.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's probably done.
He says that this is his last one.
Okay.
But so many people are like, no. Like, they're going to throw money at you. You'll do tons of cameos. And so, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I would like to see him be done. Just
like give up the, yeah.
I don't know. Because that's the thing is that since superhero movies are a thing now, and because of Hugh Jackman, they are a thing. Or at least a big part of him,
sure.
His involvement there, a thing, because into like X-Men does not get the credit that it deserves for ushering in the era of superhero films.
That's true. I think it's kind of forgotten in some ways. Yeah, I do. I can see that.
Like, it's not all just Chris Nolan's Batman or Downey.
Bryan Singer has something to do with that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bryan Singer should get that credit. And it's not only because of Bryan Singer, it's because of Bryan Singer and because of what Downey brought to the table and Bale in Nolan's films and everything like that. Of mm-hmm. course, that's what made it explode. But, and then some people would say like, oh, well, you know, you had Blade in the 90s. Well, yes, you did. But, you know, X-Men in 2000 was like a big success.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's been playing it for 16 years. Since we're in this era of superhero films and there's no sign of it slowing down, we're going to have to get over these characters leaving, or like these actors leaving these characters. If we can do it with Batman and we can do it with Superman, we should be able to do
it. Well, some of us are able to. I'm still not sold. That's another point.
That's
sorry.
That's another point.
Sorry.
Thanks for crapping on my point.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, and so it makes you wonder, like, what are they going to do? Like, are they just going to get a new actor, or are they going to do some sort of, you know, I don't know, like some sort of timeline reboot like they did already? I mean, the X-Men line is such a mess right now. Like, I don't even know what continuity we're in or what
is happening.
Yeah,
I almost feel like they should stop that. I don't know. I'm kind of done with those films.
I still have no urge to see Apocalypse.
I want to see it, but I don't know. It's I don't have high expectations for it.
I mean, I didn't know that you wanted to see it. Like, if you want to rent it, we'll rent it. But it's one of those movies where I'm like, I want to see it, but I don't want to spend money. Like,
no, I get it.
Like, I want somebody to loan this to me.
Well, that shows your interest level, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the problem.
And that's really sad.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good film. Was it Dark Knight? No. Nothing is.
No.
But I thought it was a well done film. And yeah, I just, I don't know what it is about Apocalypse that just does not, you know, blow my skirt up. I don't know.
Hmm. Well, Rogue One.
Rogue One.
We totally abandoned that.
We did. like the entire point that I was trying to make earlier about how, like, you know, Disney oversaturates and everything like that, it gives you too much. Rogue One, I have not had any kind of doubt from trailer one to trailer two to trailer three. Every single one I'm on board. You have my money.
Yeah, I've gotten chills in every single trailer, so I think that's a really good sign.
That is a really good sign. I mean,
yeah.
I had a friend say that they said even if it's a crappy movie, it's going to be beautiful.
That's true. From what we've seen,
yeah,
it looks pretty good. Yeah, no, I am super excited about it. I can't wait, and I think it's again. Every time Forrest Whitaker says his line, you geek out so hard.
I do.
And it makes me laugh.
I do. And I was talking with Matt Hansen, host of the Senate Front Floor and Filibuster. I was like, man, Forrest Whitaker, he just gets me every single time. He's like, he had one line in the trailer. And I was like, that's all it took, man.
That's right.
That's all it took.
That's right.
It's like, what does he say? Save the rebellion, save the dream.
Yeah.
And I want that on my tombstone.
All right, babe. I'll make that happen.
You write that down.
Yeah, okay. Are you sure you didn't want the Royal Tenenbaums one?
Oh, the saved his family from a sunken battleship. Yeah. Or something like that. One of the two.
Okay.
Flip a coin.
All right.
Once I bite the dust in
sounds good.
A year or so.
Yeah, no.
But no, like, yeah, Forrest Whitaker, and they're only showing us Forrest Whitaker in that one shot.
Well,
in that
it
one
makes
scene.
Me think that he's only in that one scene.
Right. Or maybe they're being smart, for which I don't want to give them too much credit, but maybe they're being smart. And they're
I don't
not
think so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think it's one scene.
Because there's, but the thing is, though, is that, like, he has hair in one shot, and then he's bald in another, but it's all in that hovel, like this hut that he's in, that I'm assuming that he's in. So I always felt like when I see that, I'm like, oh, he's going to shave his head. And that's very much the let's get down to business. You know, like I feel like he's going to be a part of the final battle that we haven't seen.
Mm.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
I'm thinking they
Maybe.
Go to him to convince him to join in. And he does. But at the very, very end, kind of like how Han Solo came in at the last second at the end of Star Wars.
OK,
that's what I'm thinking.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's like part like he's got some. Like
limbs
that are
yeah it looks like he has some robotic droid, limbs yeah. and everything mm-hmm. like that yeah it yeah. looks he's seen some stuff like he's,
yeah.
he's been through
some things.
Well, his name is Saw Gerrera, and he's a character from the cartoon series Clone Wars, which is really awesome because this like using that character legitimizes that show in a way that has never happened before.
Okay.
Where it's not just like a sidetrack. It's a part of the Star Wars universe now.
Right.
Like, really and truly. Because Disney can say, oh, it's canon all they want. But until we see it in a quote unquote Star Wars movie.
Right.
There's still plausible deniability.
That's true. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah. In the third trailer, they introduced much more of the plot, which is what they do, you know, and much more of the emotional thread of Jen's father being integral into the development of the Death Star, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think very cool. All right. Well, should we get into our Halloween favorites?
I think so. Let's do this.
All right.
So we have a literal stack in front of us, and you guys, longtime listeners of the show, know that when we say that we have a stack, it's physical. It's actually happens. We go to the room and take out the movies and put them on the table. Speaking of which, we have continued to dismantle my nerdasium and turn it into a nursery.
It pretty much is there now.
It's pretty much there, except just missing all the baby stuff.
Yeah. We're just waiting for our showers.
We moved all the movies up against one wall. We moved my desk up against one wall. We've taken down all of the posters.
Except for one.
That's right. And it's going to stay. It is one tiny little Star Trek poster, and it glows in the dark, and Baby Riddell is going to enjoy it.
Unless it keeps her awake at night.
It's not that bright. We still have to decide on a mobile.
That's true. We do.
Are we going to go with the Bill Murray, or are we going to go with something else?
I think the Bill Murray's out.
Okay, fine.
I think we decided that.
Fine. All right. But yeah, we had to move all of the DVDs out and reposition them. And I keep thinking, like, you know, should we put the stuff that's on Netflix away? Should we not? And then
we did some of that.
Some of it.
But not 100% because we couldn't let go.
And that's the thing. I don't want to let go. It's just like both you and I are like, you know what? This looks awesome.
That's right.
Whether it's on Netflix or not.
That's right. So I think it's going to stay.
All right. So here at the top of our list is Donnie Darko.
Now, warning, our list is not true horror.
No.
These are our favorite movies to watch during October that we consider Halloween-esque.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is that so many people feel like Halloween movies means like Freddy Krueger or Jason or, you know,
slasher
films and everything like that. I don't know why that started, but with me and you, and also how I was raised, Halloween movies can be fun, can be interesting, can be quirky, and doesn't have to be a slasher film. It can be something that involves witches or vampires and ghouls and ghosts and goblins, but it can also be just kind of that creep factor one. And Donnie Darko actually has, like, it takes place during Halloween.
It does, yeah. Yeah, it's a good fall movie, too. Yeah, but it's Halloween-centered, yeah.
Oh, a listener actually reached out to me on Twitter and said that he wanted to know our opinion on this. Is Batman Forever a Halloween film, because it takes place during Halloween?
I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either. Like, I told him, I said no. I said my gut reaction is no. But then I'm like, well, it does have Halloween in it.
Yeah, but like, you could say that about, you know, other films that have like Christmas in it. Like, is it a Christmas film if it just like takes place
during Christmas?
Just during Christmas.
But it's not about Christmas.
Right.
Well, Sleepless, While You Were Sleeping has Christmas in it. Would you call that a Christmas film?
No, because I would watch it anytime, but
we mainly watch it during Christmas.
We do mainly watch it during Christmas. Yeah, it's true. Batman Forever, huh?
See, it's hard.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good question.
So, okay, like, this listener has a question. We can't answer it.
Yeah.
So how about you guys answer it? So let us know at facebook.com/thenerdparty, or you can write us an email by going to thenerdparty.com/contact and selecting Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. Or you can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. And please let us know what you think. Like, is this guy off his rocker? Or do you agree with him and think that, yes, Batman Forever is a Halloween movie. You should totally watch it this October. Now, Donnie Darko is fun because it's creepy. It has that gigantic bunny costume.
Yeah,
It's got time travel. Mm-hmm. It's got it's got Halloween. It's got costume. I don't know. It's twisted enough for me to enjoy it in October.
Yeah, I think I liked this film before we met, and we actually watched it together one time, and we tried to watch it, like, I think we, like, broke into a planetarium. Like, someone had, like, a key, because they, like, worked at the planetarium at our school, and we tried to watch it, like, on the screen that's, you know, up above.
On the projector.
Right, which doesn't really make sense if you think about it, because, you know, like, that screen is supposed to be, like, to see it, like, from 360, whereas you can't watch a movie like that. But we tried, and it didn't actually work, and we ended up going to, like, a classroom and watching.
It was the lamest thing ever.
It was so lame.
It was absolutely lame, because you're right. It's that, like, some of our friends were just like, oh, no, I work the planetarium on the weekends. We can project it. It'll be huge. It'll be awesome. But they had this really crappy projector.
It was terrible.
And it was out of focus, and they couldn't get it. Like, it only played 30 seconds, then quit.
Yeah.
And then, like, they kept trying that for, like, a half an hour.
It was a long time.
All of us were just like, okay, this is not worth it. Like, this, we're not having fun. This is not spooky. This is not fun. And they're like, okay, well, we still wanted to watch the movie. So we ended up, like you said, in, like, some science classroom where, like, dissected frogs and pigs in jars were in the corner, but not in a spooky way, just kind of like a that's awkward kind of way. And then he rolled out one of those carts, you know, that you had in high school and middle school.
That's right.
And so we watched it on there, and both you and I are looking at each other like, why aren't we just going home and watching this?
Exactly. Like, this is so lame. That was our first experience together watching Donnie Darko.
Yes.
I mean, I love this movie. Like you said, the creep factor is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Even the idea of, like, him sleepwalking
and
doing things, I think that's creepy and cool. And he just has this off way about him. Jake Gyllenhaal does through the whole thing.
Yes.
It's just, you know, and, like, the airplane, you know, crash deal is just
creating a tangent universe in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just really cool.
I like it. Like,
me too.
Yeah, there's no slashing in it. There's no, you know, like, girl running with her top off because, you know, like, somebody's...
Yeah,
because
that makes a Halloween movie.
That's what makes a Halloween movie in some people's minds. Then moving on down to the list, Interview with the Vampire. I don't give a crap what anybody says.
You can hear Batman voice.
I love this movie.
You love this movie.
I can quote you this movie backwards and front. Because did you know that God kills indiscriminately?
Oh my God. Oh dear, we started something.
Oh yes, we did.
No, this is good. This is a good vampire film. Like, this one I think is like the best vampire film.
I know that we just made some people's heads explode because I have talked about this before and I've gotten a lot of heat for it. And
really?
I don't understand
why.
You
don't like this movie?
People don't like this. There's some people out there who don't like this movie.
This is such a good movie.
This is such a well-written movie. Anne Rice did a fantastic job with the book as well as the movie. The plot, the look, the feel. This is a Neil Jordan film. Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, both at the height of their power in the 90s.
Yeah.
And also...
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
When she actually could act as a child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before she plateaued.
Yeah, exactly. And she was done.
This is such a quotable film. And I love how Tom Cruise is off kilter because he doesn't usually get to play characters like that, that are a little crazy, a little off. Like he picks up a corpse and starts dancing with it while singing in French.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's like a sexy, creepy movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sexy, creepy, and there's times when, like, I mean, I know I'm an adult, but I close my eyes because it's that factor where you're just like, oh my gosh, like, this is messed up.
Yes.
There are messed up aspects of it.
There's a scene, one of my favorite scenes, and this is the scene that you're talking about where you close your eyes, is that there's two prostitutes, one's already dead, and so... Lestat is trying to convince Louis to kill this prostitute.
She's still alive.
She's awake. She's witnessing them arguing with each other about whether or not to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all going on in real time. And I'm getting chills just talking about it.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. And it takes place over time. Like, you know, like you see them because they don't age. And so this idea of, like, you know, through the time, how they change and how they have to kind of adapt or, like, move because people kind of catch on that they're the same age. And, yeah, I mean, it's just such a cool concept, you know. And then when you had all of, like, the stupid vampire stuff come out a few years ago, it was just like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, go watch Interview with a Vampire. Like, that's a real vampire film.
I feel like that might have been the issue. I think that's why people are looking back on Interview with a Vampire not as positively as they could have because of all this Twilight garbage that came out. And this...
Don't even speak its name.
Where Interview with a Vampire, it's, you know, like, it's... It became a part of a trend, even if it was at the forefront or even if it was before it became trendy. People are looking at it like, oh, I don't want to watch another vampire film.
Maybe it's kind of gotten lumped together.
Yes, it got lumped in with Twilight.
Well, it shouldn't because it's completely different.
And then Antonio Banderas pops in out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that part's creepy too.
And he's like, I know nothing of God. Or the devil. You know, I just love how philosophical it is.
Yeah.
And I might be overstating it, but...
No, I think there's something to this film. I think it's so well written.
Yeah.
And, I you know, how can you beat that cast?
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't beat that cast, especially in the 90s. And it's just, like, when you have garbage like Twilight, where it's the importance of having a boyfriend and being sparkly, and then you look... At this movie where Tom Cruise's character of Lestat, who's been alive or undead for hundreds of years, says God kills indiscriminately and so shall we, for no creatures under God are as we are, none so like him as ourselves.
It's like you're quoting scripture. You probably know that better than you do the Bible.
That always pissed off my mom.
I believe it.
Because I could just pop into these movies, especially Interview with a Vampire, and she would straight up say, why can't you remember scripture like that? I'm like, we'll make a badass movie like Interview with a Vampire and I'll remember it.
Oh my gosh.
We should probably move on.
We probably should. Well, okay, so this one's another one where some people would argue whether it's actually a Halloween or not. But we love watching The Mummy during this time of year.
And some of you might be thinking, oh yeah, the original monster movie of The Mummy, the black and white, that's totally a Halloween movie.
No.
The Brendan Fraser, Rachel Weisz movies.
Yes.
I love those movies.
It's so fun.
Come on, mummies are Halloween. This is a Halloween film.
It's a fun film. It's fun.
It's good. I don't care. Like, this is a good movie.
And it's like lighthearted too. I think it's like, you know, that action lighthearted, but, you know, can kind of spook you a little bit. Not, you know, not a lot, but it's just,
more of an adventure film than adventure a horror film.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun. It too.
It has horror aspects, but it's an action adventure comedy with horror aspects.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Rachel Weisz's character in this.
I do too. I love Evelyn, I think. Yeah. And I love the growth that we saw in The Mummy Returns, and we're not even going to talk about the third one.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Is it because there is no third one? This is not a trilogy. This is a double feature. But it's just, yeah, I love Arnold Vosloo as the mummy himself. I think he had a great look and a great style about him. And it's just, I grew up on these movies, and I love the soundtrack. I actually bought the score to The Mummy.
Did you really?
Nobody bought the score to the Mummy. I had to find it at some random bookstore. And I paid like $20 for it. And back then, no one spent $20 on it.
So funny.
Because they didn't, I swear they only made one copy and I got it. And I would read to it. I would read Dune.
Oh, it's a good soundtrack. I could see that. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the desert. Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it.
You understand.
I know. Well, now let's talk about our M. Night Shyamalan picks. Because we have three of them that we like to watch around this time of year.
We have The Village, Signs, and The Sixth Sense.
Mm-hmm.
I still am trying to get you to watch Unbreakable.
Well,
but
I've seen Unbreakable.
I know you've seen it.
I'm not a huge fan of it.
I know, and it's not really slow. It's not a Halloween movie.
It's very slow.
But I like it. I think Unbreakable is underrated. But yes, The Village, Signs, Sixth Sense. We just watched The Village today.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before on the show.
This one gets some hate too.
Yeah, this one gets a lot of hate. It got low ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, and I don't even care because we watched it today. I cried.
It's a good movie.
I literally cried. A man tear, damn it. But I cried when she discovers Joaquin Phoenix on the ground.
Yeah.
And she starts to scream as they pull him away. Yeah.
Yeah.
One solitary tear down the cheek.
Yeah. No, it's powerful. And I think, you know, I think it's nice because it plays on that idea of it doesn't have to be scary. It's more of like the fear that you have of something.
Yes.
And so like it's not a slash or anything like that, but it's more about like what can people create and be afraid of even if they've never seen something.
Right, right. So, the power of myth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I really enjoy it. And I think it's underrated. Like the performances I think are underrated.
It's funny, we started talking about the performance, and if you asked me, if you said, hey, are you a Bryce Dallas Howard fan? I'd be like, absolutely, she's amazing. And then I started thinking, what else do I like her in?
You just like her as that character in The Village, Ivy.
I do. That's what I found out. You helped me realize that, where I was just like, well, she was in Jurassic World and she was a horrible character in that. And then she was in Doghouse? Crap. It was a Nicole Kidman movie and she was in the sequel and it was god awful. And then she was in, she had a bit part in Terminator Salvation that wasn't enough. And then everything else I either haven't seen or didn't like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm not so much a Bryce Dallas Howard fan as I am an Ivy Walker fan.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. I think she does a good job in that role, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like probably more all three of these. Like, out of all three of these, I think Signs is my favorite.
That is your favorite, hands down. I could tell you that.
I think it's just fun, you know, and I think it's just like, I could watch it more often than The Village or The Sixth Sense. I think it's just because it has that more fun aspect to it where, you know, it has some humor.
The kids help.
Yeah, the kids help. It kind of makes it a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it.
It has that redemption arc.
Right.
Which is really nice.
Right.
At the end, it ends with hope. Mm-hmm. And even if the village does end with hope moving forward, but there was a lot of pain to get there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Because there's some tragedy involved. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, in Signs, there's not a lot of tragedy.
There's not so much tragedy. Yeah. The good guys win.
Exactly.
The good guys win.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's pleasing to watch. Mm-hmm. And I really like Joaquin Phoenix and Mel Gibson playing off of each other. I think they're a great duo together.
I agree.
I really miss non-crazy Mel Gibson.
I know.
I wish he got his personal crap together.
I know.
And then we have Sixth Sense. I mean, there's no explanation behind this one. This is a great Halloween film.
That movie legitimately scares me.
Yeah.
Like, I Yeah, and I think that's why I don't like to watch it as often, because I do get scared when I watch that movie. Yeah, like I won't sleep as well.
Like, yeah, you have all of this grisly imagery,
mm-hmm.
like with the kid with the blown out back of his head and the woman vomiting in the tent.
Yeah,
and
it's just a lot.
And the slit wrists and everything. Yeah, it's horrifying.
It's very horrifying. Yeah, so I think it's more of that horror aspect that. I don't know. I don't enjoy as much. Like, it scares me, mm-hmm. and it's good. I have to say that. Mm-hmm. But to watch it over and over again, I'm not as big of a fan.
Now, there is at least one slasher film on this list.
But it's to music.
That's right.
And so it's okay.
That's Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
That's right. I love Sweeney Todd. I think it's probably our favorite musical.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd have to say Sweeney Todd. Like, you and I could start singing the first song and go all the way to the last song.
Yeah, we used to sing it all the time together. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think our secret, well, not so secret desire is to play those roles, which will never happen. But I watched the stage play first, and then it was right before Johnny Depp's and Helen Bonham Carter came out with, you know. Tim Burton's version,
mm-hmm.
and then we just like completely latched onto it.
We became obsessed with it. Like, mm-hmm. we watched it like once a week, and would listen to the soundtrack and only the soundtrack in the car.
It's true.
And we kind of got burned out.
I think
on
we
it.
Did, yeah, because we now don't watch it quite as often, or even we don't necessarily watch it every Halloween, just because I think we watched it too much.
I remember when we saw it in the theater, right when the singing started. Two people got up and left. And I looked over and I was just like, how did you miss this? Like, how did you not know that it was a musical? Like, was Johnny Depp singing in the trailer not enough for you to figure that out? I don't know. But then moving on, we also have Zombieland.
I love Zombieland.
This again, like, this goes on with our theme that even if there is some gore, even if there is some killing, there has to be some quirkiness too.
Yeah, yeah. And I love this film. I think it's just fun. Like, the fact that, you know, they're all called their names of their cities, right?
Yeah.
Like Tallahassee.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I'm blanking on the other ones too. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, I think it's just fun. And my favorite part is the Bill Murray part.
That's hands down the best cameo ever on
it's
film.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Where they're in his house and they're just like playing Ghostbusters with him. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. Mm-hmm. That's like everybody's dream is to play Ghostbusters with Bill Murray, but then not shoot him in the chest.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, if everybody who hasn't seen it needs to see it, it's like if you're just like, I'm sick of zombies, this is not your average.
No, it's different. It's different.
It's not your average zombie film.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one that's much more traditional. That's Scream.
Yeah.
This is probably our only traditional slasher
is.
Halloween film.
It probably is.
But the thing is that we very rarely watch this around Halloween time. We actually...
We kind of marathon them later, like different times a year.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a part of it that actually legitimately scares me. Because this idea of these kids being, like, actually killing
mm-hmm.
people, like... That's freaky. But
that always freaks you out more than the paranormal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like when you could actually picture someone doing these heinous acts.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think it's fun, though, to when you watch it, to like just yell at Sydney like the entire time. Like,
like, Sydney, no.
Exactly. Like,
turn around.
It's definitely that type of like, don't go there.
Yeah.
Like, don't go in the house. Yes. Like, shoot him again. Like,
that is very much a Halloween film is when you're screaming at the TV. You're like, oh, you idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grab the gun, not the banana.
Yeah. And then we also like the sequels because they're just fun.
Yeah. Scream 2 is a legit good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I do like Scream 1 and Scream 2. Scream 3 was just, oh my God.
Yeah, not so much.
And Scream 4 was, I liked what they were trying to do, but.
It just didn't, yeah.
But it was one of those, like when you watch Scream 1 and Scream 2, you kind of have to move forward with the other ones.
I know.
But yeah, like Scream 1 and Scream 2 are legit good movies. Mm-hmm. Scream 3 and Scream 4, you just watch because you're a completist.
It's true. It's true. I like them a lot, though. The next one actually is one that you introduced to me and I never watched as a kid. It's Hocus Pocus.
This could be.
I think it is for you.
I think this is my favorite Halloween film of all time. Absolutely. This is the epitome of a Halloween film.
It's so funny to me.
This is more of a Halloween film than the movie Halloween. This is Hocus Pocus, okay? We have Bette Midler, Kathy and Jimmy, Sarah Jessica Parker, and a young Thora Birch. This is so amazing. It's so much fun. It's one of the best movies you'll ever see. And it's so funny. It's about, like, for those of you who are living under a rock and don't know what Hocus Pocus is, it's about three witches who were sucking the lives out of little children of Salem.
So they could become young and beautiful.
Was it the 1700s? I think it was the mid-1700s. And they got found out, and so they were hanged. But then they spread a curse that if a virgin lit the Black Flame candle on All Hallows Eve, they would come back to life. Well, fast forward to, I think, 93. And some stupid virgin lit the Black Flame candle and then brought the sisters back. And it's just a great comedy. There's a song and dance number.
I was going to say, there's a song and dance number.
It's an amazing song and dance number.
I'll put a spell on you.
Because, yeah, it's Bette Midler. You have Bette Midler in the movie. You're
going to make her sing.
You're going to make her sing. And so, yeah, everybody who's seen it knows what I'm talking about and loves it. And everybody who hasn't seen it, I'm not going to ruin anything for you. Watch it. It's cute. It's fun.
It's
and
very funny.
It's safe for the family.
Yeah, it's fun. And I had not watched it until you. So it's kind of funny.
This was a lot of this like stuff that I was exposed to when I was younger. Yeah.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead.
We just watched that one yesterday.
We did. Yeah, I love Shaun of the Dead. I think it's so great.
This is another zombie movie that's in the vein of Zombieland, where it's fun, it's interesting, and it takes the zombie genre and just makes fun of it.
Yeah, I love the style of it, too. And it's got a lot of dry humor, too, where, you kind of have to have that quirky sense of humor to like it. But this film is just so great, and I think I like Simon Pegg's character the best out of like the Cornetto.
Yeah, the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah, trilogy. I think I like his character the best in this one.
I think you're right, because in The World's End, his character was so annoying, just not entertaining, and just And I did like his character in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, but it was more straight-laced.
It's very much straight-laced. Mm-hmm. And like in Shaun of the Dead, he was much more lovable.
Yeah, I agree.
He was a much more lovable character. I think I liked all of the characters in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
I think this was a great cast of characters.
Yes, absolutely. And it's like British, you know, it's obviously like that British humor, which is fun and...
like you said, dry.
Dry, and it's just, it's great. It's so great.
Moving down, we have the classic Young Frankenstein. Or is that Frankenstein?
That's right, Frankenstein.
This one was a favorite growing up. Like, I loved this movie growing up. And it's got so many great, great actors in it and so many great moments. And I actually had a birthday cake.
That's right.
That had Frankenstein
that.
On it. And the quote underneath was, roll in the hay. It's like, excuse me, doctor, would you like a roll in the hay? And it just made me laugh, and I just thought it was hysterical to put on a cake.
Yeah, that was your birthday cake
that was my birthday cake that year. And it's, what could be said about this movie that hasn't been said already?
I was going to say, it's classic.
Just Wilder and Madeline Kahn, and it's just so great. Terry Garr.
Yeah. All right, next is Beetlejuice.
Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice. Like, the older I get and the more I watch it, the more I appreciate his character.
I love all the characters. I think
Otho.
Yeah.
Catherine Hahn's character.
Yeah.
Not Catherine Hahn. Catherine O'Hara.
Excuse me. O'Hara. Yeah. Yeah. Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin when they were so young.
So young.
They're like babies. Yeah. No. I love this. I think it's so unique too. Like, it's not just a haunting. Like, you've got, you know, going into the other world of, you know, and, you know, the idea of, like, them, you know, trying to coexist and, yeah.
Having a manual for the recently deceased.
Yes.
And all the all the civil servants are suicides.
Yes.
It's just,
yeah.
Tim Burton needs to go back to original works.
Yeah.
He needs to go back to something original.
Because this is so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, I love this film. And it's just, again, it's fun.
It's fun. It's macabre. It's
exactly,
quirky.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, there's rumors, there's talks of things of a second one. What do you think of that?
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone?
Leave it alone. I think it also is one of those things where it was unique for its time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I mean, it feels very 90s, 80s-ish, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if you were to do it now, I don't know. You know, even like the puppetry involved and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how they would do it. Like, because like you could easily hide Michael Keaton's age with makeup.
Yeah.
And, but you'd have, like, if you got a writer back, you'd have to play it in a different way. Like, and so, and
yeah, she'd have to be older.
They honestly wouldn't be able to get Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin. There's just no way they could play that.
No,
none whatsoever. No. So,
yeah. Whenever we watch it, we're like, yeah, I think we could probably survive in the attic.
It's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, when Alec Baldwin's character said like maybe this is heaven. I was kind of like, yeah, that sounds kind of nice.
You're just like in your house, like, yeah, hanging out.
In our house, hanging out. Only if people left us alone.
That's true. If someone moved in, that would not be okay.
No, but yeah, I think while we were watching this a couple days ago, I even turned to you. I was just like, yeah, we could do that.
We could do it.
I could do that. That'd be fine. Yeah.
All right.
Now our second favorite musical.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, yeah. I think this one's my favorite to watch. This one is my favorite Halloween movie.
That's your Halloween, okay.
Yeah, this one is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah.
So great.
And we don't just watch it during Halloween.
No.
But we do watch it mainly during Halloween.
This is a year-round movie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We sing along. We dance along.
Yes.
This is an event for us in the Riddell household.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, what can you say? It's Tim Curry.
It's Tim Curry as Dr. Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need to say. There's so many times. Like, we will quote this film all throughout the year. And whenever I have an excuse to say, it's not easy having a good time, I will say it. And it was, it's that scene where they say each other's names.
Oh, yeah. Rocky.
Dr. Scott! Janet! And it goes on like three times. It's hysterical.
Oh my gosh. It's so great. Yeah.
Such a good film. And it's a cult classic. And I'm glad that it's a cult classic. Mm-hmm. And they are making a new one.
It's already aired. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to watch it. I don't know. What do you think?
It was told by students not to.
Your students said not to?
Yeah. They said that it was terrible.
Ugh. Well, it looked terrible.
They said that leave it alone. Like,
all right.
I mean, come on. When something's a cult classic, it should almost be like forbidden to remake, right?
Yeah.
No?
I mean,
yes.
Well, I spoke about this actually on the Alien commentary, where someone said, "God forbid they remake Alien," and then another person chimed in and said, "What does it matter? You know, the original's still here. You know, like maybe the new one's great, maybe it's not. Whatever. It doesn't affect the original." And I'm kind of like, the older I get, the more I kind of think that way. I'm just kind of like, whatever, they're going to remake, they're going to reboot, whatever, we still have the original. So I'm kind of to the point of apathy. Like with the Rocky Horror thing, it's a TV movie. It wasn't theatrical distribution, but
that's true.
It's a TV movie. They still made it. I'm not going to watch it. And people say it sucks. And so it's not going to affect my enjoyment of Rocky Horror Picture Show at all.
That's true.
So I'm just kind of like, whatever.
I guess you can spin it too and say maybe people will check out the original if they were like saw it on TV.
Well, that was the argument for the JJ movies with Star Trek,
That's true.
Even if you didn't like them, you like it rose awareness or raised awareness of the
got
previous
some
ones.
new fans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so finally on our list, which is going to end our night, is you know, when I say Hocus Pocus is my favorite, it's Hocus Pocus is my favorite for Halloween, but Nightmare Before Christmas is my favorite for the season of Halloween to Christmas.
That's why I saved it for last on our list, because we watch it almost back to back, because we watch it in October and then December.
It's true. We do
we
that.
We don't just watch it. Yeah.
No. And I have a mug. I have a mug with Jack's face on it,
mm-hmm.
and I bring it out October 1st, and I don't put it away until January.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how I feel about this movie. Some people have asked me, is that a Halloween movie? Is it a Christmas movie? It's both.
Yeah.
It's not one or the other. It's both.
It definitely is. Yeah. And I mean, again, original content here where you have the Halloween town and mm-hmm. you have, all, you know, the puppetry, like the claymation. And, mm-hmm. and it's just, it's so great. So great.
It is. This is clearly struck a chord, at least with a Hot Topic audience, but this has struck a chord in our culture where this has become transcendent of Halloween and Christmas, and really, like, everybody knows Jack and Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I say Jack and Sally, people know
yeah.
the Pumpkin King and the doll full of leaves. You know, yeah, it's just, it's everybody true. Knows that love story, and you have Oogie Boogie, and it's just...
Yeah.
The two-faced mayor...
Yeah.
The songs are so great, and it's like, and they're actually in my range. Do you know how hard that is to find songs that are in my range?
You do sound good when you sing it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. I can do Sweeney because it's basically talk singing. And I can do Jack Skellington's voice because it's a lower register.
That's right. Yeah, no, I can't wait to show this one to our kids when they're not, you know, old enough not to be creeped out by some of the imagery.
I know, like my mom and I would do a double bill growing up of Hocus Pocus and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's a good double bill.
Every single year.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do that of with course. our little ones too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think, and you actually have, I have on my keychain with my keys, a Jack and you have a Sally.
That's right.
So, yeah. Yeah. We've had that for years,
yeah. And originally, like, I think, like, we bought them and we were thinking, like, okay, you'll take the Jack and
I'll take the Sally, and yeah,
but we're just like, nope,
yep,
yeah. That way we're always with each other.
That's right.
Aw, so cute. But there you go. That those are all the movies that we have either watched or are going to watch in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this is a very different Halloween list and October list that you're most likely hear on other podcasts. Like, you're gonna hear The Thing, you're gonna hear Nightmare on Elm Street, you're gonna hear, and those are all great movies.
Oh yeah.
Like, we're not arguing that. They're just not our type of Halloween movies.
That's right.
So we would like to know what your type of Halloween movies is.
Please.
Like, do you do the slasher films? Do you do Sixth Sense? Do you do Zombieland? What do you do? Let us know. You can contact us at thenerdparty.com/contact and selecting Nerd Nuptial. You can also find us on Facebook. Please go to Facebook and give us a like. Go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. And you can message us on Twitter at @joinnerdparty. So please let us know, what is your type of Halloween film? What's your favorite Halloween film? Is it Hocus Pocus? I hope so.
It probably is not.
It's probably not. But that would be pretty awesome if it was. So please message us. And something else that you can do is you can check out nerdsandbeyond.com. It's a great news source. They give you really great, accurate news. They don't get overly flowery. It's not clickbait. Everyone should check it out. They're a partner of ours, and it's just a great resource. You should also go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. From there, you can get a great box of geek merchandise. For $40 worth of merchandise for less than $20, if you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in code nerdparty, you'll save some money, even more, off of that. And if you want to find an unboxing, if you want to see an unboxing, you can go to facebook.com/thenerdparty to check it out.
We have some other great shows on the network, too.
That's right. What do we have?
We have Aggressive Negotiations, we have The Senate Floor, and Filibuster. And that's it.
And this one. Everyone should go and check us out, because there's no excuse not to find us. We have so many great shows, and we have a bright future ahead of us. So please stay tuned for that. Find us at thenerdparty.com. I want to say two things.
Okay.
Happy Halloween, and I love you.
I know.
I put a spell on you. And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I love.
No! Don't listen to them!
Been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. I put a spell on you.
Good joke. Happy Halloween. Thanks a lot.
No, man, I'm serious. Yeah, yeah. You got to get ahead of me. I'm not kidding. Come on.